This is the Friday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. During the month of September, three artists have joined scientists in southwest Colorado wilderness areas in a partnership among Canyons of the Ancients National Monument, the Colorado Art Ranch, and the Aldo Leopold Wilderness Research Institute. The artist-in-residence project, entitled Aldo and Leonardo, is inspired by the vision of Leonardo da Vinci and the wisdom of wilderness advocate Aldo Leopold. The artists are collaborating with scientists to illustrate the value of wild areas and honor scientific efforts to preserve wilderness. The project will also celebrate the lands, resources, and opportunities protected by the Wilderness Act, which will mark its 50th anniversary next year. Joining me here in the studio this morning is Leslie Sobel. She is a painter who's part of the Aldo and Leonardo Artist-in-Residence program this year. Among other subjects, Leslie paints abstract landscapes that are many times based on aerial views of waterways and geological formations. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in this morning. Tell me a little bit about your paintings and some of the concepts that are behind them.
Well, I'm the non-scientist in a family of scientists, so I've grown up sort of surrounded by people exploring the world from a scientific point of view, and it's made me paint differently. In particular, I have a brother who's a geologist, and my father-in-law was a geophysicist, so I got very interested in formations, and I've been fascinated by water, grew up on the Great Lakes, and am very concerned about changes and what's happening with climate change and so forth. So as somebody who's kind of freakishly map-obsessed, I started looking at the world from a high standpoint, high viewpoint, and maybe someday NASA will give me an artist in residence where I could really be doing stuff from that point of view.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. You know, it really looks like some of your paintings really incorporate like satellite imagery. I saw one that you had on your website of Antarctica, a diptych that you had done. And I just was thinking, wow, she should be on the International Space Station. Maybe that's your next artist in residence program.
I would love that. I do work with a starting point sometimes of Landsat images, or there's a public domain database of astronaut photography from the International Space Station, and where you can get that viewpoint that, you know, you're not going to get shooting out an airplane window, which I've done a lot of times.
Yeah, you can see that in your paintings, is that I think many of us, as we fly over the country, fly over places, we see those views that really are kind of abstract from that angle. How did you first decide to start painting some of these views? Was it just something that kind of was a natural fit for you based on your interest in maps and that kind of thing?
It was, and it's a funny evolution, because actually a series of earlier pieces I was shooting through a microscope. So I've been interested in where people fit in a range of scales. You know, there are things that are way bigger than us and way smaller, and those are viewpoints that you don't, unless you're in an airplane, for example, really see of the world. Sure. And yet, for me, abstraction and accurate reality, realistic painting, aren't that different. Because depending on where you're looking at it from, you could look at a slick rock wall from up close and it's as abstract as anything you're going to see out an airplane window.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because what was just going through my mind was that here in the Southwest, I think a lot of us enjoy our landscapes out here because of that sense of scale. And as you move through the landscape, mountains loom larger or get further and recede away. How has that affected you recently being here in the Artist in Residence program?
It's been pretty amazing. I mean, we've been hiking all around Ute Mountain, so you see it from different viewpoints every day and, you know, different orientations, and say, boy, is it a long way away or am I right next door to it? And yesterday I was hiking down at Sand Canyon, and same kind of thing of views up close, and I was photographing some things that were big vistas and some things where I was holding my camera just inches away from a wall, and thinking there are similarities in how it all looks.
Do you use photography a lot in your paintings?
I do. Pardon me. I work in Photoshop a lot. And so I'll take photographs, I'll alter them digitally to the point where they're almost a painting in and of themselves. I have a large format archival printer at home, which I didn't bring out here for obvious reasons. And I'll print things very large and then combine that with mixed media. So calling myself a painter is a little bit of a misnomer, because it's usually multi kinds of media, including a lot of digital stuff.
Interesting. This is the Friday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. My guest this morning is Leslie Sobel. She's a painter who's part of the Aldo and Leonardo Artist in Residence program this year, and she paints abstract landscapes and I guess uses a lot of digital tools as well, as we're finding out. Another thing I noticed in looking at some of your work online was that you produce what's called a monotype. Can you tell me what that is?
Sure. A monotype is a one-off print. You know, with traditional printmaking, you're making an addition, so there are a bunch of identical prints. With a monotype, it's only one, but it's still a printed process. And I have to back up a little bit because I use an unusual medium called encaustic. And encaustic is beeswax-based paint. So at room temperature, it's solid. Think colored candle. It's beeswax and pigment and Damar resin, which makes it harder. And then when you heat it, it flows. And with monotype, for me, encaustic monotype, you're making an image on a heated plate. It has to be heated because nothing's going to move otherwise. And then you make a print by laying a piece of paper on that and burnishing it and lifting it out. And it's something you might work back into some, but you can't repeat it. You know, it's not something where I'm going to make five identical prints.
Is this something that's done in a tradition, this kind of printmaking, or is this something that you came up with?
I didn't come up with it, but monotype as a printmaking tradition is pretty old.
Yeah.
Although it's more traditionally done with oil-based inks than with encaustic. I am one of a lot of people who do both encaustic and do encaustic monotype. I didn't originate either by any means, but I combine it with more digital stuff than a lot of people do without doing straight up, here's a photo covered in wax, which is not very interesting to me.
Right. What are you hoping to gain as you're out here working with scientists during this Aldo and Leonardo Artist in Residence program?
Oh, learning so much. We all feel like we're trying to swallow information that's being fed to us with a fire hose. It's just an astounding amount of information about the archaeology, the geology, the biology. And I'd been coming out here for a long time, thought I had a reasonable basis of knowledge about the ecosystem, about the ancestral Puebloans. But I've learned so much more being here, and I'm not even sure how it'll all end up coming together. I have ideas, but one thing that has to happen yet is to digest it more and figure just how do you take a whole lot of understanding about how people have lived in this landscape for more than 1,000 years and how does that relate to us? The one thing that seems very apparent to me is that people moved 700, 1,000 years ago because of changes in the environment. And we're looking at even more catastrophic changes now as the last couple weeks' weather, I think, pretty amply demonstrates. How did I incorporate that into art? I'm not sure. A lot of aerial views of work for me now are starting to incorporate more weather.
Hmm. You've got two other artists that are out here with you, Ben, who's a ceramicist, and Esther, who's a cellist, and we've had them both on the air the last couple Fridays. What is the process like as you guys are going out? It sounds like you're going out on the landscape and even camping out, that kind of thing. Do you then come back in and kind of all go into your rooms and sort of figure out how you're going to sort of interpret what you're seeing, or do you collaborate with each other? How does that work?
It's been an interesting mix, and Esther and I went camping the other day, car camping, and she brought her cello, and I had this amazing evening of sitting on the mesa top listening to her play, which was incredible, and I photographed her. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see pictures of her, and at some point, she'll post music from that as well. She's been recording it. Yesterday, she and I were hiking at Sand Canyon, and we took a break where she was transcribing recordings that she'd had in her little recorder, and so she's writing music down while I was drawing. Then we went on and hiked some more. Ben has been working with clay at the house, which is, I think he's now out of clay, so he's going to have to figure that part out. We have not done a three-way artistic collaboration at this point. Boy, that sounds weird.
Whoops.
But Esther and I have ideas of music and visuals going together, and in fact, we will probably present a little of that at our final presentation on Sunday the 29th at the Heritage Center. But that will, I think, develop into a more realized suite of music and images. end. That's something I've done before with other musicians back in Michigan, but we're kind of all feeling our way together because we all work very differently and obviously in very different media. So it
is a very different mix of art that you're bringing to the table. I find it fascinating to see how you're influencing each other and how it's all coming together.
Yeah, and you know, we're one of six such residencies that Colorado Art Ranch and the Aldo Leopold Institute have put together in different biomes. And I don't really have a sense of how any of those other groups have collaborated. I've seen individual images on the website, on the blog, but I have not seen a sense of were those artists doing pieces together yet.
This is the Friday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm speaking with Leslie Sobel. She is a painter who is part of the Aldo and Leonardo Artist in Residence program this year. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We are back here on the Friday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Leslie Sobel. She is a painter who's part of the Aldo and Leonardo Artist in Residence program this year. And Leslie, we are talking a little bit about some of the collaboration and some of the interaction with the other artists that are involved here in this particular Artist in Residence program here. But I was wondering how has your approach to painting changed through the residency program so far?
Good question. I did not bring my main medium with me because it requires a fair amount of equipment, including a butane torch and a heated palette. It's bulky, and also it's not something that travels terribly well in a hot car. So most of what I've been doing is a mixture of photography and drawing and journaling and, you know, capturing things in my head and with enough that I'll take it back to a more studio-intensive process. So I have a lot of very specific ideas about what I want to do with it, but really everything I'm doing is kind of preliminary.
So you'll be doing an exhibit with the other two artists at the end of the month.
Right.
That the public can come and see. Will we expect to see then sort of works in progress from you then? Is that
what
it'll be?
You'll see drawings, you'll see digital images, you'll see not just straight photography, but sort of the digital underpinnings of what will be paintings. And it'll be more of a presentation than an exhibition, I think. We'll be talking about what we've done and sharing preliminary stuff. Ben has some sculptures, but they aren't fired yet. So they'll look quite different since he's working in a kind of clay that once it's fired is this amazing, very glossy black. And, of course, as unfired clay, it's a lovely, rich kind of chocolate brown. But none of us work in media where it's possible to do a finished piece in the field. In fact, I have a lot of drawings that may evolve into prints or beginnings of paintings or just notes on same.
So the seeds of things to come.
Yeah, so we'll be sharing our process and sort of sharing what's going to evolve. And I hope we'll come back here with finished work at some point because we'd really like to be able to share that, particularly with the scientists who've been taking us out and sharing just amazing things with us.
Tell me a little bit about that. When you go out into the field and you're walking around with a local scientist here, is there just kind of a natural flow of conversation, or are you talking about art specifically, or are you talking about science specifically? How do those things kind of overlap?
They have varied a lot. For example, at one point we were taken out to help with a lizard and snake inventory. And the way that works is you spread out about, a, I don't know, 15, 20 feet apart, walk up the canyon, and when you find something, try to identify it with, of course, a little bit of a lesson first about what you're seeing. And as we did this, there were a lot of conversations about what we were seeing, not just in terms of the lizards, but the ecosystem, any other animals, birds, the drainage, the plants, the whole bit. And then, oh, there's a lizard. What kind of lizard is it? I don't know. He's really fast. And one snake, one rattlesnake, so that was kind of fun. But so that was one day's outing. We went out with a pair of geologists who not only took us all over the place and changed up on the fly, because that was a day where it had been raining a lot and the original itinerary included a lot of Manka shale, and for obvious reasons we didn't do that. But we ended up kind of playing tag with a bear, hiking where a lot of very fresh footprints, never saw the bear, but the footprints were fresher than ours where we were going. So we're talking about this rock layer and that rock layer, and what do you suppose the bear is doing now? And then being fed magnificently by these incredible campground cooks.
That's always nice, too.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Now, you're describing a process here locally in this artist-in-residence program where you're really on the landscape, you're pretty close to things, yet a lot of your previous work really comes from that kind of aerial sort of, you know, wide view of things. Are you planning to incorporate some Southwestern or satellite imagery, aerial imagery of this area into your work?
Absolutely. And I didn't fly out this trip, so they won't be necessarily my shots, although I've flown over this area some before. I have a lot of photos, but some of them will be things I'll go to the NASA databases online and see what I can find that's very specific, and take that and combine it. And I've always done a mix of, I don't know what you'd call it, landscape, where you're here right in the middle of it, and stuff from above. And of course, some of the stuff from above is, okay, I climbed up pretty high on this bluff, and so there's a, it's not an aerial view, but it's a view from above. So it'll be a mix of those things.
Hmm. You know, when I see your work, it's fairly intuitive, and I know what I'm seeing because it jumps out at you a lot of times. Even though it's abstract, it jumps out at you, oh, that's some waterway. What is the reaction that you get to the art that you produce?
Well, people who get it seem to really get it, and particularly if you're somebody who looks at maps, looks at landscape from that kind of point of view, I think it resonates. And I'm sure there are other people who just look at it and say, eh, but they don't generally talk to me about it, so I guess I don't know. But it's been interesting. I did a series of pieces for a number of years on the Mississippi River, went to New Orleans after Katrina to chaperone a service group, and then started looking at antique maps of the area that showed how the Mississippi has moved over the years. And people reacted pretty strongly to that. I think that there were so many images of the Mississippi in people's heads after Katrina that it really resonated.
You know, you've mentioned weather, climate change, these kind of larger scale environmental changes. And you even said earlier that you're thinking about trying to incorporate some of that. And, of course, your experiences out here and some of the extreme weather events we've had over the last few weeks certainly, I'm sure, have made an impression. How do you plan to bring that into your work as you move forward?
Good question. I'm not really sure, other than I have just hundreds of photos of thunderstorms and clouds and lightning and rainbows and weather moving across the mesa tops here. Some of those will assuredly become paintings. I have done pieces in the past incorporating scientific data, things like heat maps, even just layers of scientific papers as sort of a layer of words that are a palimpsest that come in and out of a painting. And I'll probably do some of that. I have worked some with some climate scientists and taken data from them. One of my close collaborations in Michigan is with a friend who is freshwater biologist who's studying how mussel populations have been changing by human intervention, and we've worked with a variety of things over the years. So I'm still kind of putting those pieces together for this body of work, other than there's going to be a lot of images of the sky, because how can you not, particularly being here with such big weather?
How can people find out more about your paintings or more about you?
You can check out my website, lesliesobel.com, my own blog, which is lesliesobelblogspot.com, or the project blog, which is aldoandleonardo.blogspot.com, and that's Aldo and A-N-D, Leonardo. And that last one has all 18 of the artists in the entire project blogging. But right now, the most active ones are those of us here in Colorado and shortly the Boundary Waters people who are in Minnesota. But any of those places are a great place to start. Thanks for asking.
Sure. And could you mention again when the final exhibit will be that you guys will be putting on here at the Heritage Center?
That will be Sunday, September 29th at 1 p.m. at the Heritage Center in the theater. And all three of us will be presenting. I believe Esther will play live, as well as she and I have plans to do some of this combined art and music stuff. So come and see.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Well, Leslie, thanks so much for being here this morning. It was great talking with you.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
You've been listening to the Friday Morning Zine here on KSJD. Today's program was produced by myself, Tom Yoder, and our theme music was written and performed by Brett Pasia.